See, Thomas Jefferson, it's fascinating because we look at Thomas Jefferson and we read the history books. And what I have read, and growing up, going to school, and you have a history class every year, you hear about Jefferson. He's one of the most famous of the founding fathers. And the three you always hear of is Jefferson and Washington and Lincoln. Of course, Lincoln was later on in history, but those are the three people you hear of going to school. So you always hear about Jefferson. And the things that you hear are, and I could go through his bio here, but it'd take 20 minutes and be a waste of time. But see, he studied all these languages, and he was just smart. He knew Latin, Greek, and French, and he was studying those at age 9, and he was studying classical literature. Most 9-year-olds don't do that nowadays. But we can go through this and all the things he did. Just a fantastic bio, but you never hear about him being a farmer. At least I didn't. So I went to school, I never heard that he was a farmer. I learned that in my own study later on. And of course, you hear that he wrote the Declaration of Independence. So we have this huge bio of all the amazing things that he did. And that's how most people look at Jefferson. They see him as this person who went to Europe and did all these amazing things with government and with politics. But when you read what Jefferson wrote, he didn't even like that stuff. Whenever he was off doing some political thing as president of the United States or in France, doing political work, he was always wishing that he could go back to his home on his farm in Monticello and just be a farmer. He loved to study books and study science and be a farmer and do scientific experiments with his plants. So it's fascinating because the world looks at Jefferson and they say, oh yeah, he did all these things, but they generally always exclude agriculture. But then listen to these quotes about agriculture. And when you read Jefferson, I've read, I think, the majority of what he wrote, which is a lot of reading. But when he makes bold statements, usually they're about agriculture. And I have six quotes here. I'm just going to read. They're really brief, and I shortened them, so they're not. Some of these are not direct quotes. They're really shortened so that I could use them in this class. The first one is, and this is the quote from Jefferson: "The greatest service which can be rendered any country is to add a useful plant to its culture." Okay, now this is fascinating because when at least when I read the things that Jefferson wrote, I didn't really see him making bold statements about too many other things. But this is very bold. He uses the word greatest service. So listen to the next quote. "Agriculture is our wisest pursuit." Here again, a bold quote. He uses the word wisest. Okay, so greatest and wisest. Quote number three: "Cultivators of the earth are the most valuable citizens." Okay, bold statement here using the word most valuable. Quote number four: "Those who labor in the earth are the chosen people of God." Now, that's pretty interesting. I mean, what other jobs were there out there at the time when Jefferson was writing this? It's fascinating. Apparently he saw quite a few. But it's interesting. "Those who labor in the earth are the chosen people of God." Pretty bold statement. Quote number five: "Agriculture is the surest road to affluence." Interesting. Now, I think the business colleges today would argue with that. But here again, a very bold statement. Okay, quote number six, and this is our last quote for a moment anyway. "Agriculture ought to be the first occupation in respect." So apparently agriculture wasn't the first occupation in respect in his day, which is interesting because I'm not sure that there's very many times in history when a farmer is really respected because that is their occupation and people really look up to them. Nowadays, our society, we often look up to someone who like a doctor who has gone on to greater lengths, and they're a specialist, a specialist in brain surgery. We look up to that. We like that, and we have respect for that. And when we need that type of a person to do an operation on a family member or anyone we love or ourself, we're grateful and we do respect them, and we're thrilled that they went to all the years of study and learning to be able to render that service to us. But, when I first saw that one, I thought, that's interesting, because he had the same problem then that we have now, because people aren't respecting farmers. And that kind of it shocked me several years ago when I read that. I thought everybody was a farmer back then. And as I continued to study history, I learned that I was very mistaken. Okay, quote number one again is, "The greatest service which can be rendered any country is to add a useful plant to its culture." Isn't that interesting? A guy like Jefferson, who did all those amazing things that he did in his life, his crowning achievement is, arguably could be said it's the writing of the Declaration. Yet he says the greatest service which can be rendered any country is to add a useful plant to its culture. That's fascinating. Why did he think that the addition of a useful plant to a culture was the greatest service? Only a farmer would think like that. You don't see other people thinking in that vein. Quote number two, why would Jefferson say that agriculture is our wisest pursuit? What did he mean by that? Why is it our wisest? And he talks about other things that people pursue, and how if you would just stick with agriculture, the things in life that you really need, you'll have them. And you won't be out running around pursuing other things that don't profit you. So it's pretty interesting. Back to quote number three. "Cultivators of the earth are the most valuable citizens." Why would he say that? Why are cultivators of the earth the most valuable citizens? It's fascinating. We've talked about in this class a little bit about what the ancient Greeks believed, how the real harvest of the soil is the good citizen. And he was extremely well read, we know that. I'm wondering, I wish he was here, we could ask him, but I'm wondering if he was referring to that when he talked about this. Why are the cultivators of the earth the most valuable citizens? From a practical standpoint, if you have a nation of citizens and there are no cultivators of the earth, then you're totally dependent on another nation for your basic needs, which the nation won't be free for very long. So he could have been coming at it from that angle. Quote four, "Those who labor in the earth are the chosen people of God." It's interesting. I don't have much to say about that one, but it's
William,
fascinating that he would say that. Yes, Tiffany.
I don't know if we found where he got his quotes from the same place, but I like the rest of what he says after he says the cultivators of the earth are the most valuable citizens. The quote that I have, and he made that statement on August 23rd of 1785. He said, "They are the most vigorous, the most independent, the most virtuous, and they are tied to their country and wedded to its liberty and interests by the most lasting bands." That's
Yeah.
really interesting because we're tied to the land.
Yeah. Yeah, we're tied to the land, we're tied to its interests, its liberty, and we're tied it ties us to so many things about our country. It's good stuff. And that helps to draw the conclusion of what this whole class is about. Georgics being a principle of freedom. Jefferson, he says it well there.
Yeah.
It's fascinating because let me go on with that quote just a little bit. I've got it right here. Jefferson says, "As long, therefore, as they can find employment in this line," meaning agriculture, I would not convert them into mariners, artisans, or anything else. So as long as you can have a population of people who are farmers, keep them as farmers, and you will have a strong nation. That's what I'm seeing that Jefferson is saying here. And it's good stuff. Okay, those who labor in the earth are the chosen people of God. It's great how Jefferson ties the Georgic person into the whole idea of having a relationship with Providence. Let me read you more of that quote, because it's great the way he put it. Those who labor in the earth are the chosen people of God, if ever he had a chosen people, whose breasts he has made his peculiar deposit for substantial and genuine virtue. So the people who are farming, they're a virtuous people. You know, that's what Jefferson's saying here, and it's interesting. They're a moral people. And with virtue and morality comes freedom. See that. So how do you get virtue in your life? Well, you become a farmer. You know, how practical is that in today's world? You know, you can answer that however you want, but the principle remains the same. If you want to have virtue in your life, then interact with the natural world around you, and those things start to happen. Okay, go ahead, Tiffany.
I was just going to say it's one of the few places that we can experience the true paradox, that we have to work as if everything depends on us, but we realize that we're in somebody else's hands.
Yeah, exactly. You know, along this same line, it's interesting, Jefferson continues and he says, corruption of morals in the mass of cultivators is a phenomenon of which no age nor nation has furnished an example. So in all of the study of history that Jefferson had done, and from what we read he did quite a bit, he could never find an example in history where farmers, where the cultivators of the earth became corrupt, where their morals became corrupt. You know, and that's powerful. It really is powerful. So, you know, the easy answer is, okay, we need more Georgic people in the world if we want more morality. That's what we're hearing from Jefferson. Anyway, I love it. You know, I could go on and on. Let me flip here to a couple of... This is some interesting stuff here. This is what Jefferson said about the relationship between agriculture and the government. And this is interesting, you know, there's laws out there that we're seeing more and more laws to control more and more food and the way food is produced. And, you know, I honestly don't think that they're out there making the laws to try to control the food. I can admit that there are those people who would do that, but I don't think that's really what's happening. I think there's so many complicated things that people are having to deal with, that the only way they know how to deal with a lot of the problems is to enforce laws and make new laws and enforce them, and the byproduct of that is more control. But let me read you these quotes from Jefferson and what he thought the relationship should be. First of all, I deem one of the essential principles of our government, and consequently one which ought to shape its administration, the encouragement of agriculture and of commerce as its handmaid. Now, he said this in his first inaugural address, and it's neat what he said here, because government ought to encourage agriculture and also encourage commerce, because what good are the products of agriculture if you can't get them to the people? So he was very down to earth, and let's have agriculture. Let's encourage agriculture. Okay, his next quote. An equilibrium of agriculture, manufacturers, and commerce is certainly become essential to our independence. So he's saying much the same thing here, but he mentions three things. And he says these three things need to be equal. You have to have an equilibrium of them, okay? You have to have manufacturers, you have to have commerce, and you have to have agriculture. So you need to have all three to be able to move this forward. And then the concluding quote here. And this is great because think about what's going on right now, and think about what has been going on in the U.S. with agriculture since the 1950s. Okay, so here's the quote. Were we directed from Washington when to sow and when to reap, we should soon want bread. Now, in the 1950s, they really boosted up all of the programs, and there's been an increase in programs from the 1950s until now with the United States Department of Agriculture and the farmer who produces. We're at a point right now, when I was living in Missouri, involved in farm management and all kinds of agriculture, people, most of the farmers there were so restricted with because they were tied up with so many government programs that they couldn't plow a field without first going to the USDA office and signing papers with either, the SCS or the RSCS or whoever. There's a dozen agencies, and they would need to sign papers to make sure that it was okay, so that everything would work and they would keep getting their aid. So it's totally taken away a lot of the ingenuity of individual farmers. And it's exactly what Jefferson said in this quote. Were we directed from Washington when to sow and when to reap, which is what's happening nowadays, then he continues, we should soon want bread. Have we been hearing about food shortages? Yes, we have. It's because we're so caught up in the whole, oh, we're waiting for the government, we're waiting for the scientists to tell us what to do, we're waiting for the educators to educate us, instead of farmers getting out there and producing a wonderful, awesome crop that's full of nutrition and taste that the public wants. They're simply just, you may fire me for saying this, but they're basically slaves to a huge government and huge corporations, and they do what they're told instead of using the ingenuity to produce a great crop. And it's all done in working together. It's all done in the name of we want to be able to have a wonderful crop, so let's do things together as a country so that things work. But things aren't working. And we wait for Washington to tell us what to do, and now we're seeing food shortages. And Jefferson said it, and he wrote it, and I just read it to you, and it's fascinating stuff. Let's not wait around to interact with the world around us, with the natural resources. It's not somebody else's job. It's our job. If you are listening to this and you are a human being, it is your purpose on this earth to interact with the natural world around you. Pick up a piece of soil, put a seed into it, and grow something and eat it and enjoy it. All right, Tiffany.
I was reading something on the latest scientific discoveries of the brain and everything they've been learning in the last probably 15 years or something has completely blown out of the water 80% of the knowledge that they thought they had on the brain. And this one book was saying that there's six major functions of the conscious part of our mind, and one of those abilities of the conscious part of our mind is called the naturalistic ability, and it means our ability to interact with the physical world around us, seeing patterns. It's actually one of the major functions of the conscious mind. And I mean, we've all developed different parts of our brain, but I may have even mentioned this in class, but But when I was reading that, I'm like, William has really developed this part, this natural ability that we all have. You really live and interact in the natural environment around us. I know that when I married my husband, he's very strong in that area too, where he can interact with the physical world around us as if it's an extension of himself. And I was very different. I mean, I totally grew up in a city. It wasn't a big city, but it was still a city. I grew up in Salt Lake City, and I was in the classroom, and that was the world. I didn't have very much, not a whole lot. I mean, I had some experience with the world around us, because at one point in my life we had horses, and so I had some, but the amount that I had to develop and pick up on was huge compared to my husband. And just being with him, and then, you know, being with you has, you know, anyway, it's something that we can all learn. And it literally is one of the six main abilities of our brain, of our conscious part of our brain. That's kind of interesting.
Most of the quotes I got out of the real Thomas Jefferson, the other quotes came from I got them off the internet from the Monticello website, the museum they have there at Jefferson's farm. Anyway, okay. I've spent quite a bit of time here. I could keep going, but those are the main points I wanted to get across today. Jefferson, he pretty much, whenever he was out there, and he spent the majority of his life, in political places, running around doing things, because he was good at it, and we needed him to do that, and we should be grateful for what he did. It's interesting as you read him, though, because he always wanted to get back to the farm and just enjoy the farm. So it's interesting. I can draw some parallelisms to that in my own life. I wish I was on a farm, too. And I'm going to be. That's the exciting thing. So that's good.